Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, fill us with faith, Lord, to continue the mission of manifesting our salvation. Many don't see the need of it, and they don't grow up in God. So we ask you for help, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to speak on endure to manifest salvation. This is one of the most important teachings to bearing the fruit of salvation. Many are not motivated after the initial experience to go on. And yet the doctrine of Scripture is very clear on this. Many don't understand the progression of salvation, but we must continue to, in real faith, to bear the fruit of Christ in our soul, as well as to manifest His salvation. 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, notice the fullness of salvation is the end of our faith, not the beginning. A large number of people believe that once we enter the kingdom by faith, that's all there is to it. But the Bible says we stand by faith. That means you have to continue to stand in faith. Otherwise, according to what the Scripture says, you'll be broken off. Romans 11:19 says, thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and severity of God. Towards them that fell, severity, but towards thee, God's goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now, I realize there's an awful lot of people don't believe that, but the Scriptures don't hold a very high regard in their minds. Verse 23 says, and they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. You see, it's enduring in your faith to the end that manifests your salvation. Matthew 24:13 says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring in what? Enduring in faith. Reaching out to more and more of Christ, right? In speaking about the time when God broke off the Jews, Paul made the statement in Romans 11:7, what then? That which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not, but the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened. So God called his children out of Egypt. But we can see in Jude 5, now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. You get saved and then you're destroyed because you don't believe? Yes, it's common. They did not endure in their faith. He saved them, but then he broke them off when they did not believe. Of course, religion is a major destruction because it leads people astray from the very things we must believe. That's why we're studying this today. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of Christians today who think that they are saved because they stepped over some line back there somewhere, and now they call themselves Christians. There is no line. When you step into the kingdom, you stand by faith. You continuously stand by faith. And if you don't, you can be broken off. At the time Jesus came, they were coming to the end of the Jewish dispensation when God was going to open the door to the Gentiles. Do you know what God did to the Jews then? What he did was the election obtained it and the rest were hardened. Remember back at the beginning of our New Testament, that's exactly what happened. And that's a prophecy for the church too. There are only two kinds of God's people, the called and the elect. All of the elect are called, but not all of the called become elect. Chosen is the Greek word eklektos, which is the same word as elect. Matthew 22 and 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." That's, of course, you choose the fruit of the plant. You don't want the plant, right? So you see, many receive the invitation to partake of Christ. That's the calling. But only those who bear fruit are going to be chosen. The fruit of what? The fruit of Christ. It's what Christians are supposed to be these days. Instead, they're products of religion. The Bible says the elect of the Jews obtained it and the rest were hardened. And we are now coming to the end of the Gentile dispensation in the tribulation. And God is going to do the same thing that he did before. Only this time, the elect of the Gentiles are going to obtain salvation and the rest are going to be hardened when God turns back to the Jewish remnant. Romans 11 and 8 says, "According as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this very day." Hey, is this true of the church? Absolutely. And David saith, "Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always." So, and these same people who were hardened were the people whom God used to persecute his elect. He uses the hardened ones to persecute the elect, his chosen, his called Gentiles. There is a great persecution coming upon the people of God, and it's going to come from what has loosely been called the people of God. It will come from people who have hardened their hearts, who have been called, but they have refused to walk in the light of God's word. 1 John 1 and 17 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin." Notice the word if. Yeah. They're caught up in religious spirits and in religion. They're even going to think that they're doing God a favor when they persecute those who truly follow the Lord. But we have to stand by faith. If we don't stand by faith, we can be broken off. Do you know what faith is? Many don't, especially people in the dead religions don't know what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance," in other words, the assurance is that you have received the substance of what you ask. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. It's not seen. The fullness of your salvation is not seen at the beginning. We say that we are saved, and it's true that we are saved by faith. But when the Bible says that you're saved by faith, it means you are receiving something that you don't yet see. You may think, I've received God's Spirit, so obviously I'm saved. No, you're not saved because you received God's Spirit. You're saved because you are believing in what the sacrifice of Jesus accomplished for you, and you're following God's Spirit. That's why you are saved. Some people are very deceived, thinking because they received God's Spirit, they are a shoe-in for the kingdom. Well, that's not what Scripture says. Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, not have the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see, receiving God's Spirit does not make you a shoe-in. There are two sides to salvation. We receive it in our spirit instantly by faith, but we receive it in our soul progressively by manifestation. What we receive by faith in the beginning is going to be manifested as we walk in it and as we stand by faith. What is the substance that this born-again soul is made of? James 1 and 21. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted, meaning inborn or engrafted, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He's talking to people that proclaim that they're saved, right? It's able to save your souls. What would you look like if your soul wasn't saved? You'd be nothing. The born-again soul is made from obedience to the Word. That means it's made from Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Doesn't this put a lot of importance on the Word? It certainly does. Hebrews 11 and 1, KJV, faith is the substance, or in other words, the assurance that you have what you ask for. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence of things is not seen. You see that? The evidence is not seen. Well, when it's seen, that's what we're calling manifest salvation, right? Faith in the Word is important. The Word is the seed of God that brings forth the fruit, which is able to save your souls. If you take that away, there is the ability for your soul. Where is the ability for your soul to be saved? There is no ability. People are deceived about what salvation is, and they're losing their souls because they are not running the race. This is a race. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. Even so, run that you may attain. I'll tell you which one is going to receive the prize. Jesus. And all those who abide in him, as he said. Okay. One receiveth the prize. 2 Timothy 4 and 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. You want to do this to win your soul. To win this race, we must have kept the faith. We're not running against one another, but we're running against a clock. And we've been given a certain amount of time to bear fruit. Father gave the fig tree 3 years to bear fruit. And Jesus asked for one more year in Luke 13, 7 through 9. If we waste that time, we will be what the Bible calls an unprofitable servant. Luke 17 and 7 says, But who is there of you, having a servant plowing or keeping sheep, that will say unto him, when he has come in from the field, Come straightway and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded? Even so, you also, when you shall have done all the things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Well, some people are going to be accounted more than unprofitable servants, but some are not. There are many who are content to just be running down the clock, and they're not running, but the clock is running, and their time is running out. And Jesus taught us in Mark 11:23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. Well, when you pray, believe you have received. It's actually past tense. Even the received text is past tense, has a footnote that says that, because it happened at the cross. God does everything that way. We pray for salvation, and we believe we have received. But if you don't endure in that faith until you see it manifest, do you ever receive it? No. Jesus said, Matthew 10:22, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Shall be saved. He that endureth shall be saved. We say that we are saved, but too many people don't understand what the term saved really means. Saved is the Greek word sozo, and it's very encompassing. That word sozo may be translated different ways, but if you look, you'll find what I'm talking about to be true. With scriptures, it means deliverance from sin and deliverance from the curse of sin and of death. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. That's kind of like the law of gravity. You know what I mean? It's quite natural to take effect. It's got to be supernaturally overwhelmed. It's pretty audacious to say that I am saved at the very beginning when you haven't even started walking in salvation. But that's what Jesus told us to do. Mark 11:24. Wherefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever. What does that leave out? Nothing. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for. You prayed and asked for salvation, didn't you? Believe that you received it, and you shall have them. Okay. All things. So Jesus in us is salvation. At the very beginning, we claim our salvation. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. Now that's what faith does right there. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So we claim all of that at the very beginning, but we must endure in faith, standing in Christ, to see the manifestation of this. Many people don't understand this, so they just sit down and they don't run the race. Some of that is the fault of their false doctrine of just accept Jesus, which there's nothing in the Bible about that. Galatians 5:7. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Well, if you start off with a faulty foundation, you may not arrive. There is a race to be run, and there's an enemy to be fought, and there is a battle to be won. If a person doesn't understand that because of ignorance of the word, they're not going to get very far. They're not motivated. They're not going to bear fruit. They're going to end up with a hard heart, and they'll turn away from God, especially in these days, because we're coming to the time of a spewing out of the Gentiles who have not borne fruit. God's salvation was not given to us. Revelation here, God's salvation, God's promise through Abraham, was given to the seed, quote unquote. Galatians 3 and 16, and now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not as, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. So who got the promise? It goes on to say, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ got the promise. The promise was spoken to Christ. Well, then how do we manifest God's salvation? So Jesus said in John 15 and 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, notice, in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. How do you get in Christ and then get taken away? If some of their foolish doctrine is right. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. It's the only way to get the sap up from the roots, right? So, neither can ye, except you abide in me. So, where is salvation? It's in him. If you don't abide in him, you will not manifest his salvation. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If we abide in Jesus, we bear much fruit. But if we don't abide in him, we will wither as a branch. So if God's salvation is in Christ, we must abide in Christ to have it. How do we abide in Christ? Well, first of all, you abide in Christ by faith, which is the substance of the thing what hoped for. You accept his deliverance by faith. You accept his salvation by faith. And that faith is accounted to you for righteousness because you believed God. Understand, it's not manifest righteousness. It's accounted to you. It is attributed to you as righteousness. You are counted as righteous, and that means justified. Romans 4 and 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. That in that way you can have fellowship with God when you first come into the kingdom and don't know anything about righteousness. So you're accounted as righteous because of your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. But then, as you walk with your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, your salvation will start being manifested by God. In other words, you'll look more and more like him. He is salvation. It will come down into the seeing realm, into the physical realm. It's not just in the faith realm anymore. Faith is believing for something that you don't see, and manifestation is when you now see it, and it's abiding in Christ. So you have salvation, according to 1 John 5:11, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. See where the life is? See where you have to abide? He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. Well, this is why we must abide in Jesus. To abide in Jesus is to abide in salvation. It is to stand by faith. And if you don't stand by faith, you have no guarantee from the Word of God. Philippians 2 and 12 says, "So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So, we need to be careful to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Matthew 22 and 14 says, "For many are called, but few chosen." So many are invited to partake of all the benefits of Christ, but they are not chosen because they don't bear fruit. So out of all those whom God called out of Egypt, many fell in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb are a type of all of those who enter into the promised land because they endured in their faith. They held fast to their faith. Numbers 14 and 28 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as you have spoken in mine ears," and that was unbelief that he spoke to them, or they spoke to him, "so will I do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me, surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear I would make you dwell therein." He swore, and he told them they're not going in. Some say God can't break his word. Well, it's unbelief that breaks the covenant. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land. Yep, those giants are too big. We can't take them. And they tell you that in the churches all the time. You can't overcome that flesh. Just be subtle to be forgiven. 37. Even those men that did bring up an evil report of the land died by the plague before the Lord. Were these the people of God? Yes, they were. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land. Today God is bringing many sons into the kingdom, and every single one of them is enduring in their faith and walking by faith. Our faith must grow, and we must continually put the word into our hearts to know what to exercise faith in. And besides, that word that we're putting in there is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only hope of glory, I might add. The point is, we have to continue in the faith. 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body." Outside. So if you sin, you choose to sin, you choose to step out of the body. You're not abiding in Christ. I know that failure is covered by the blood, and to some extent ignorance is covered by the blood, but willful disobedience is not covered by the blood. Hebrews 10:26 tells you very plainly there's no sacrifice. So when you abide in Christ, you're abiding in righteousness. God's purpose is to deliver us from walking in sin and to cause us to be dressed up of Jesus Christ. Romans 13 and 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So that's salvation. We claim salvation now, but to the extent we don't see it, to the extent we don't walk in the faith of Jesus Christ, to that extent, it's not yet manifested. We are claiming something we don't yet see. That's what faith is, by the way. Once you see something, Paul said, you don't need faith any longer. You've got it, right? There are many people who are resting in the flesh, but while you rest in the flesh, you don't bear fruit. The unprofitable servant, the one who doesn't bear fruit, the one who doesn't do something with the talent that God gave him, is going to be cast forth into outer darkness. Matthew 25:14. For it is as when a man going into another country calleth his own servants. The Lord's servants are not the lost people out there. They're his servants. And delivered unto them his goods. And he did deliver that to us. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. The first 2 servants of the Lord traded with their talents and doubled what the Lord entrusted to them. Matthew 25:18. But he that received the 1 went away and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So they hid their talent in the earth. They were just swallowed up of earthly things, worldly things, lusts of the flesh, living like they wanted to live instead of living the crucified life, right? Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them. And their Lord was pleased with the first 2, but he wasn't pleased with the last servant. 25:24. And he also that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid, and went away, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Notice this was a servant of God. It's very important for people to understand that salvation is progressive because it motivates you to go on and not to sit down and rest in the flesh. That's what hiding your talent is in the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth is the flesh. So with that in mind, let's look at what the Bible has to say about our progressive salvation. Acts 15:11. But we believe that we shall be saved. He's talking to God's people. We shall be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus in like manner as they. Well, I dare say that there are many churches where if you stood up and you quoted this verse, they would correct you. They would say, no, we are saved. They would rebuke you to your face. Well then, what's the difference between their are saved and Peter's shall be saved? The difference is that now we're talking about the manifestation of salvation in our life, not just receiving it by faith, which is the substance of the thing hoped for. There are as many verses in the Bible that point this out as there are verses that tell you to claim salvation by faith. Acts 15:12 says, And all the multitude kept silence, and they hearkened. If you said this today in church, they wouldn't keep silent, and they wouldn't listen. They would insist, we are saved. We don't have to worry about our salvation. And they don't. They just accepted Jesus and rested in the flesh. So these people are resting in the flesh. But let me tell you, we do have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, quote unquote. That's not the works of the flesh to be saved. It's working out the salvation with fear and trembling. And the Bible says God can break you off if you don't stand by faith. Romans 11 and 20. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. How do you get broken off of the olive tree if you were never in it? And thou standest by faith. You stay in that olive tree by your faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and severity of God. Towards them that fell, severity, but towards thee, God's goodness. If thou shalt continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Well, let's not get scared out of our faith, but let's have enough respect for God to do what we were put here for. Paul called it a race. We were put here to run a race, and we're racing against time. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 says, Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel, that's the good news, which I preached unto you, and which also you received, and wherein also you stand, and by which also you are being saved. That's right, being saved. That's what it says in the original and in the numeric pattern. You are being saved. Now notice this next word. You should circle this next word. It says, if. 1 Corinthians 15 and 2. By which also you are being saved, if you hold fast with what word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. Notice it is the word that I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. If we do not hold fast to the original word, we believed in vain. Can you trust that to religions? No, you cannot. You better go find out yourself what the Bible says, and that's what we're looking at right now. It can be a waste of time unless you hold fast to the word that was once preached unto the saints. Jude 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, these are so-called saved people, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's what we're looking at now. We are to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Some Bibles versions add once for all. But for all was not in the original, and the numeric pattern verifies the correct wording here. The faith that works, which we must have, is the faith that is in agreement with this word, not the modern faith that we're hearing so much of. Paul says you are being saved if you hold fast to this word. Let me show you something else about this reconciliation, which was made at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. Colossians 1 and 21, And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Reconciled, to present you holy and unreprovable. Reconcile means exchanged. 23. If. Okay. So there's that conditional word, if again. We've been told that we're the church, the spotless and blemishless bride, ready to meet the Lord. But does it say that here? No, it doesn't. Colossians 1 and 22. To present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which is the good news, which is not just two words in the Bible. It's all of the good news, all the promises of God we're supposed to be believing in, which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. So he was saying, now you are reconciled through the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you without blemish and unreprovable if you continue in the faith of the original gospel. The Apostle Paul is not telling them that they are spotless and blemishless. He is telling them that this is the process, and this is what God is doing. They were spotless and blemishless by faith, but they were not by manifestation. What is God interested in? Well, he's interested in you bearing the fruit, right? God's faith is in a means to an end. What good is faith if it doesn't change people? Faith is a means to bring you to his deliverance, his manifestation, his Christ-likeness. You've wasted your time if you come to the end of this life with what you have called faith and there haven't been any works from it, or there's no manifestation of Christ-likeness in you. James 2 and 20 in the KJV, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. It's barren. It's incomplete. That's what that means. As the Bible says, real faith changes you, and it changes things. There is an if in this reconciliation, and there is an if in this salvation. That if depends on our continued standing in the faith of this word. Do you actually read the word, or do you trust the preacher? In other words, you're a cookie cutter Christian. You know, we just stamp them out at the beginning. That's what they are at the end. No, that's not bearing fruit. We can't trust in the unbalanced doctrines of men. Some teach salvation by our own works, and we're saved by works. But it is the works of God through us because we have faith. That's right. There are works, but they're the works of God. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. That's two different works. Some teach that salvation has all been accomplished by manifestation and that we don't have to do anything to work it out. But that's not what the Bible says. Both of these errors will destroy you. Our main purpose here, according to the book of Acts, is to search after God. Acts 17 and 24. The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he made of one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain even of your own poets have said. for we are also his offspring. We are to pursue after God. If, perchance, we might find him, quote unquote, he is the Word, not men's shortcuts, like just accept Jesus. Find that in the Bible. No, it's repent and believe the Word. So you must read the Word. Repent and believe as you read the Word. Just accept Jesus causes people to sit down and rest in the flesh and not think that they have anything to do with the fullness of their salvation. Hebrews 12 and 14, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, talking to the people of God, without which no man shall see the Lord. Sanctification is the separation from worldliness, separation from sin unto God. First, you have to be separated from sin by faith, because faith is accounted as righteousness. Romans 4 and 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth, or accounts righteous, the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Reckoned. We are reckoned righteous by our faith. And second, by manifestation. Being reckoned righteous by faith is the means to the end. God's purpose is not fulfilled in the reckoning. God's purpose is fulfilled in the manifestation. The reckoning is so that you can have a fellowship with God until you get to that manifestation and you have perfect fellowship with God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, or completely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think it's possible for God to do that? Well, it wouldn't be a very smart prayer for Paul to pray if it were not possible. Who's going to pray a prayer that's not possible, especially for a wise guy like Apostle Paul, right? There are many people nowadays who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is a license to do what you want to do, because they don't want to believe that sanctification is even possible. They think you only need to be forgiven. But he says, sanctify you completely, quote unquote. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, quote unquote. So you can see the progression that God wants. First spirit, then soul, and then body. This is his plan. God's plan is that you have to bear fruit in the area of the soul to get that new body. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Know ye not that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man destroyeth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. So we have to take care of this temple. And you'll not be able to take care of it except through faith. You can sometimes defile your body in ways that you don't even know. For example, you can't find a verse that says, thou shalt not smoke. But the Bible says, if you destroy the body, God will destroy you. A lot of people are finding that out. Hebrews 2 and 2 says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Speaking to the so-called saved people. In other words, if you get cancer of the lungs because you smoked, then you destroyed your own body. And what does God say that he's going to do about that? Of course, we can repent and believe for healing, okay? But many people don't repent because they don't consider it a sin. By the way, why do we have doctors, at least in the permissive will of God? It's because people don't believe, and he doesn't always want them to die until they have every chance to believe. Sadly, though, a lot of people go to doctors to die because they admit, what, 400,000 deaths a year due to iatropic causes? That means doctor-related, drug-related causes. Huh. That's a lot of people. And he permits things in this world to happen on a natural level in order to bring us to a spiritual understanding. God's method of salvation and healing is always through faith in what Jesus did. It's looking back at the cross. It's always in the past. It's already done. Your healing, your deliverance, your provision was already accomplished at the cross. For example, do you know why we are healthy? We've been given a gift of health because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. He took the stripes so that we could be healthy. Jesus gave you his healthy body. That's what reconciliation is, an exchange. Okay, but that happens by faith. This exchange happens by faith. So Jesus gave you his healthy body and he took your unhealthy body. He made an exchange. The Greek word katalasso means an exchange or reconciliation, it's called in the Bible, which is a little confusing. It means an exchange. And it was made at the cross. Jesus gave you his blessings and he took your curses. He gave you his sinlessness and took your sins. There was a total exchange made at the cross. So how do we receive his salvation? How do we receive the manifestation of this exchange? How do we come to manifest it? Salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ, not our own works. You're not going to keep that body healthy by your wisdom about how many chemicals and how many herbs you can put into it. Your body is healthy because Jesus gave you health at the cross. Until you realize that, you won't have that health. If you think that by your works you can keep that body healthy, you're in for a rude awakening, because it doesn't matter how many chemicals and herbs you put into it, you will fail in your witchcraft. That's what the Bible says medicine and drugs are. Witchcraft. Pharmakia. Yeah. For instance, Galatians 5 and 20, Revelations 9 and 21, Revelations 18 and 23. The Greek word is pharmakia. It's where our word pharmaceuticals comes from. No, God's salvation will not be by works. God's salvation is free. If it's not free, it's not grace. It's unmerited favor, and that means you can't earn it. But you do have to earn all that money you pay for those supplements, those drugs. It comes hard by the sweat of the brow. But God's salvation is all free, and that's why it's through faith and not through works. Salvation for the body, salvation for the soul, and salvation for the spirit comes through your faith. And it's free. If it costs anything, that's not God's method. God's salvation is also past tense, so it cannot be accomplished through your works. See, you were healed. 1 Peter 2 and 24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You are already healed. Now, are you going to believe the word of God, or are you going to walk by sight? If you were healed, then you are healed. If you are healed, then you cannot be looking for healing through any works of man, because you prove that you did not believe what that said. If you're looking for healing, you don't believe that you were healed. It's so simple. We just need to believe what the Bible says. All the deliverance of God was done at the cross. And if you continue in your works trying to deliver yourself, you're proving that you don't believe the Bible, because the Bible says it was already done. God's salvation is free for the spirit, for the soul, and for the body. There's nothing but failure in our own attempts to save ourselves. In fact, you quite often get killed trying to do it. It doesn't matter if you're trying to save your soul or whether you're trying to save your body. It's ultimately going to end in failure, and God will make sure that it ends in failure. He's not going to let you save yourself. He's going to make sure that all of your efforts to make yourself healthy, to make yourself saved from sin or death or whatever, or deliver yourself from the curse, whatever it might be, He's going to make sure it fails. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want the competition of man. Not only do you have the devil against you when you try your own works to provide for your own salvation, you have God against you on that count. All we need is faith in the promises. It's free. Jesus didn't charge anybody, neither did his disciples charge anybody. It was free. Romans 13:11. And this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to you. Salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Did you notice that? In other words, the manifestation of salvation is closer to us now than when we first believed. If you say, I thought we were saved, yes, you were saved by faith, but we do not receive it by manifestation when we first believe. People who don't understand that are in a dangerous position, and they're in an ignorant church too, probably. They should probably get out of there and start reading their Bible for themselves and meditate on it. And listen to what it says, and let it put faith in your heart. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We've been given authority to do this because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross. The only thing that can stop us is unbelief. Salvation is putting on the armor of light. And the next verse explains it this way, Romans 13:13. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and in darkness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, see, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is what he calls walking, according to verse 13. The closer you get to walking like that, the closer you are getting to salvation. We are here to conquer sin. We are here to overcome. There are no promises to people who do not overcome. Go read the promises to the churches in Revelation. The promises of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are to the overcomers. And Jesus said, John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He already accomplished this for us. He has already overcome. The devil, flesh, and sin have all been conquered at the cross. And all we have to do is believe we have received, as Paul said, his salvation and walk in it. Some people think that they don't have to overcome. They think every time I sin, I can just ask forgiveness and be forgiven. But that's being an unprofitable servant. We have to make progress. And we will if we walk by faith. We can overcome sin because the power has been given and the sacrifice is there. Hebrews 10 and 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Some Bibles have a footnote on this that reads, for the word of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's the version that should be in the text, because that's the one that has the numeric pattern. The other one has no numeric pattern. We are being saved by faith, and we are being saved by manifestation. It's important for us to understand that we are being saved. 2 Corinthians 2 and 15 says, for we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God, in them that are being saved, and in them that are perishing. Most Bible versions have are saved and them that perish. But the Nestle's text, which is made up of the three most ancient manuscripts, has are being saved, and them that are perishing. And numerics proves this. 2 Corinthians 2 and 16. To the one a savor from death unto death, to the other a savor from life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Did you know that you can be in the process of being saved, but then you can end up by being perishing? Excuse my language. The Bible talks about those who walk in their willfulness until they are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. How can you be twice dead if you're not twice born? And Jude 12 says, these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts when they feast with you. Shepherds, which has no numeric pattern, it was added in. It's not just shepherds, it's everybody. When they feast with you, that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn leaves without fruit. They look like a fruit tree. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. So they started out in regeneration and ended up in degeneration. See, you can reverse the process. Some people don't think that's possible. But if you can just look at some Christians, you can tell it's possible. Romans 8 and 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice it's not them that received the Spirit of God. It's them that were led by the Spirit of God. So if you walk after the flesh, you must die. Jesus came to give us life, but you go right back to death. You go right back to the old prison that you came out of. He came to set the captives free, Isaiah 61, 1 and Luke 4 and 18. But you would rather be bound. So let's continue in the faith and believe what God has provided for us in Christ. I hope you're seeing what I'm saying here. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that this would get through to people and motivate them to holiness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Night all.